very much for that.
All right. I've been looking forward to this for quite a while, being able to share what God has put onto our hearts concerning the theme for this next year. Before we look into that, I just want you to know that when we consider what theme we're going to have for this next year, we put a fair amount of prayer into it, a fair amount of talking and conversing with myself, Pastor Dan, and our wives, and just coming up with where does God want to lead us. And I'm very grateful for, because this is the third year now that we are doing a theme, very grateful that God has clearly led each year for where we need to go. And we let God lead as we go. And we're so grateful for that. We don't have an agenda on our minds and our hearts for what we want. We're simply looking to God to lead us. And so with that, I'd like you to take your Bibles and go to the book of Psalm chapter 77. Psalm chapter 77. I want to read through the two verses that we have selected for the theme for this year, and then we'll go ahead and I'll have Rodney put up our theme graphic for this year. But Psalm chapter 77, this is a psalm of Asaph. I'm going to give you a little bit more background here in just a few moments. I'm not ready to preach it yet. We're going to go through these two verses. But Psalm chapter 77 is kind of a very sad psalm where Asaph writes about a lot of bad things that's going on in his life. But there's kind of a breaking point when we get to verse 11. And I want you to recall your mind and your eyes, your hearts, to Psalm chapter 77, verses 11 and 12. And these are the two verses that we are going to claim this year for our theme. Last year we had 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12. This year we have Psalm 77, verses 11 and 12. And this is what Asaph writes. He's going to make a choice here, and he says, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings." And so these are our two verses, and these verses are kind of packed with what we have to look at this year and some things. In fact, they bring us three things for the theme for this next year. And we'll go ahead and get that up there on the theme for this next year is going to be, I guess if somebody has a drum, you can do a drum roll right now as we wait for it to come up here. You can look at the verses, you can probably say there's three key words here that we're going to be looking at, okay? And so the theme for this next year is going to be thankfulness, remember and declare. All right, look back down at this verse. Again, I'm not going to preach it. You see these highlighted here. Now, you don't see the word thankfulness here, but it's all throughout, okay? Thankfulness. As you look at our graphic here, and there's been some time and energy and thought put into what we have here. And, of course, here we have a Jewish man that... And honestly, most of the Old Testament is revolved around this. We have a Jewish man here with his son, and he's got this, you know, his copy of the law out. Maybe some things that he's remembered and recorded of what has happened in the past, and what he's doing is he's obviously taking time, as he has already considered and thought through what God had done for him in his life. That has then been translated, is being translated to the next generation to come. And it's here that we see this young lad in the picture. This boy is hearing from his father all that God had done. In fact, a lot of the Old Testament is wrapped up in this idea of what God had done for the people. That was in turn remembered, that was meditated upon, thankful, and then it was declared to somebody else that needed to hear that. And that was the way that God was going to continue to be God of these people, passing it on. And we have to do these three things. And that comes right from these two verses. You know, we've got to remember what God has done. We've got to be thankful and meditate upon it. And we've got to declare it. It's all about discipleship. It's all about investing in the people around you with what God has given to you. So this is our theme for this next year, thankfulness. We're going to spend time being thankful. How can a person be thankful? Well, first of all, they've got to remember, right? If we're going to be thankful, we've got to remember what God has done. And this year, I want us to remember. I want us to go back personally and individually. In family, I want you to go back. As far as a church, I want us to go back. And I want us to remember what God has done. And as we remember, we'll be very thankful for what God has done. You cannot be thankful if you don't remember. Thankfulness has everything to do with remembering. And then as we remember these things, we don't bottle it up and keep it here. We give it out to somebody else. Now, so much more is going to be said this morning, but also in this year concerning this topic. I hope it will be a blessing to you. Some of this is going to even be more real to you here in just a few moments as I preach this passage to you, and then as we kind of lay out this next year. And so these are the verses. I want to encourage you to memorize these verses, Psalm chapter 77, verses 11 and 12. Memorize those. And to help with that, we have another theme song that is going to help you, and we're going to sing that most weeks this coming year, and so we're grateful for that. And so we'll be using these words, and I'm going to go ahead and ask the musicians to come back up, and we're going to work through our theme song for this next year. So theme song for the next year, Psalm 77, verses 11 and 12.
All right, look in the very front of your hymn book and you'll find a sheet. That's our theme song for this year. We're going to eventually get it into the song book, but for right now, we're just going to use this sheet, Psalm 77, 11, and 12. Now, Bettina is going to play the piano. I'm just going to sing it through one time and then we'll try it all together.
I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate, also love all thy work, and talk of thy doings.
Now I want you to notice right there at the end of the song, if you know anything about music, that's a little repeat sign. So most times we're going to sing it through two times. So let's go ahead and try it together. We'll sing it through two times.
I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also on thy work and talk of thy doings. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also on all thy work and talk on thy doings.
Very good. And you guys can go ahead and be seated here. So there's our theme song. We're going to be going through that. Once you get to know that a little bit, we might speed it up just a touch. But there is the theme song for this next year. And certainly it won't take very long to know that. And that's going to also help you with memorizing these two verses. And so I really want you to give as much as you can to the theme. It's like anything else. The more that you give, the more that you will get out of it. And I'm going to say, the more that you give yourself to it, the more you're going to get. Yeah, I don't know what you did with this past year with with the love that we learned about and reflecting that perfect love. I don't know what you did with it, but I will say this. The more that you thought about it, the more that you meditated, the more that you listened, the more that you gave yourself to it, the more you got probably. And so I want to encourage you, give yourself to this theme, give yourself to this passage, give yourself to the preaching and teaching of God's Word, and it will be a blessing to you. So let's go ahead, if you're not there, go to Psalm chapter 77 and verses 11 and 12. And I just want to give you, this message is really kind of just an overview of where we're going, okay? You remember last year we had the mountain scene, and I kind of gave you some preliminaries. This is the mountain we're going to go up to. That's kind of today. As you look at this graphic, you know, this is where we're going. You know, this father has nothing. If he doesn't take time to remember what's gone in his past, he has nothing to give to this young man. What's the key to our future? If our next generation doesn't get what God has given to us, then there will be no next generation as far as the church and far as his things. There won't be any. Folks, I am very, very burdened that I know that God has been good to you. I know that God has been good to you, fathers. I know that God has been good to you, mothers. I know that God has been good to you, children, teens. God has been good to you as families. God has been good to you. God has been good to us as a church. He has been good to us in many, many ways. But we must remember the works of the Lord. We need to remember what he's done. But we must, everyone listen, we must be faithful at passing it on. Otherwise, it stops right there. And so we look at this verse, Psalm chapter 77, verses 11 and 12. Let's read it together. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. I want you to look at the verses before this. I told you that it was Asaph that wrote this. Asaph is representing Israel here. Israel is being represented. And so Asaph is speaking on Israel's behalf. Here's a question that I have for you. Have you ever felt abandoned? Have you ever been called to do something and there was going to be a person that was going to come and help you and they didn't show up for a very long time? And you were there waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, maybe for hours, waiting for someone to show up and they didn't show up. And you're kind of at a halt. You can't do anything. You might go and try and you say, well, I better not do this because I don't know what I'm doing. It's a little bit frustrating when you have to wait and you feel abandoned. That is exactly what Asaph feels in this passage. Let's go ahead and look at a little bit of some of his struggles. He felt abandoned. He felt in great need and no one was coming. He felt as if he was all alone. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled and I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. Commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And he said, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of thy right hand of the Most High. Of course, we get to our theme then. Now, this is the way Asaph felt right now, representing Israel. God, where have you gone? Now, we understand that it was because of Israel's sin and their wrongdoing, but they felt abandoned. They felt like, where is God? We need help. I need help. And so he's crying out. He even says that he's tried to remember, but, you know, he's so deep into this. He's struggling. The first thing that I want us to see for the passage is that others have gone through similar and hard times in the past. You know, when we look at this, he says in verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. You know, there's a lot packed into that phrase. I will remember the works of the Lord. Why were there works of the Lord? What was the situation with the people? There was great trouble. I want you to remember back to the time of the Exodus. By the way, when we look at this, we understand that Asaph is remembering back to God's deliverance from Egypt. In fact, go ahead and look at verse 15. Jump down to verse 15 through the end of the chapter. He says, thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people and the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound, and thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. The way is in the sea. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. It's very clear what he's remembering, right? He goes back, and he is remembering what God had done. But before we look at the remembering, I want you to understand something. We go through difficult times in life. Every person that I look at here in this room is going, has gone, or will be going through difficult times. Life is difficult. That is a fact. There are times when we don't have as many difficult trials and going on, and those times are certainly joyous to be going through, but that's not always the main thing that's going on in our lives. It's not always the rule. You know, there are difficult things that many of you have been, are, and will go through. Difficult times. What you need to understand is this. You are not the only one that has ever gone through this difficult circumstance. We trick ourselves into thinking that we are unique, that our situation is solitary. We feel alone. We feel abandoned, and we feel like there's nothing. But folks, can I tell you, and don't let this be a discouragement to you. I'm not trying to trample over your trial. But can I say this? Let it be an encouragement. You are not the only one that's gone through it. Others have already gone through it. There's nothing new under the sun, Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes. In fact, you can turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1 very quickly. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9. Let this help you understand that what you're going through, you are not alone. God does have experience helping people with this. I want to tell you that, my friend, can be very comforting. Because sometimes we feel when we go through things, this is uncharted territory. No one's ever gone here. We're in trouble. But folks, I'll tell you, there are already footprints where you are going. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9, "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun." Did you hear what Solomon said? There's nothing new under the sun. This verse kind of says there are already footprints where you're heading. This is not something that God doesn't know about. It's not something that He hasn't helped His people already with. God is an expert in what you're going through. Isn't that comforting? You know, when I go through a place and I feel like I've been the first to go and I'm lost, boy, it's tough. I've told you this story before when I was in the mountains of Wyoming hunting elk with my dad and another friend that went to our church. And I have a very good sense of direction and position. I do. I feel like I was born with it. I've been looking and reading maps ever since I was young. I've always enjoyed when I was... I know that some of you kids don't have a clue who Rand McNally is. But because we've got phones and... I mean, even the GPSs now are out of date. And those are old-fashioned. And everybody's got their directions on their phone, which is probably a detriment and why we get lost more. Because we don't have a clue where we're going, right? We just put go and we arrive, you know. And if we get into a wrong place, we have no clue how to talk to that thing and tell it you're wrong or whatever. But the case is, we really are losing our sense of direction because we don't have a clue. But I studied maps. I enjoyed maps. I would always look at them, and I think because of that, I always feel like I have a direction of where, you know, north, south, east, and west is, and, you know, point to where things are at because I spent a lot of time looking at maps. But I'll tell you, there was a time, and I can picture right now the mountainside where we were at in northern Wyoming, just south of Yellowstone National Park, up near Jackson. You've heard of Jackson Hole. We're just south, a little bit southeast of that area, hunting elk. There, I knew it. We went up there every year. We spent lots of time up there. We'd go at a week at a time, and we would walk those mountains miles and miles and miles every single day. I knew the area well. But that day, Dad and I, and his name was Jerry, went up into the mountain there, and it was Dad was supposed to take the top. I was supposed to take the middle, and Jerry was on the bottom. And we started walking, and we're not talking how they, you know, some of you deer hunters that are out here, and I know there's not many in our congregation, but if you ever know what a drive is, we're not talking about a drive. This wasn't so that you could see the person, you know, 20 or 30 yards away. No, we're probably talking that we were probably a quarter of a mile to half a mile apart going this big mountain. It was vast. It was big. We weren't anywhere close to each other. But the directions were, we were supposed to start at one end of the mountain, and we were supposed to walk until this other end, which had a big bowl, kind of like a big, and there were cliffs, and went down there, and we were supposed to end about there. And so we went, and we started doing that, but probably halfway, two-thirds of the way, and we're talking about probably a couple-hour walk, I got a very sick sense of the fact that I knew where I was at, but I did not know where they were at. And I felt absolutely sick, and I felt like I was alone, and I have a wild imagination. And I was already said goodbye to all of my family. I already said goodbye to life. I mean, I'm being dead serious. I honestly thought that I was done because I could never find them again. I mean, I thought that I was to the end and I couldn't see them. There was the big thing that they told me about, that big, big, huge bowl, cliffs that were there, and I couldn't find them. I was waiting and waiting, and I didn't understand what was happening, and I thought I was going to die. And
I can't remember how old I was. I was probably a teen. I don't know if it was junior high or high school, but I was there. But I felt like I was walking through territory that no one had ever been there. I was imagining, you know, grizzly bears and wolves, and there are those too there. And so I was scared. I was frightened. I didn't think that I would ever see any life anymore. My life was done. And it was, I really wasn't in that situation, but that's what I felt like. Can I say that a lot of times we feel like we're in that situation, but can I tell you, it isn't true. Let me say it again. You feel like it, but it's not true. I know it's not true. Why? Because there's nothing new under the sun. And God has already been there. And God has already led a group of people through all of those things. He has not left us destitute. We are not abandoned. But the first thing that we recognize is that where I'm going, God has already led people through. I don't know all what you're going through, but I'm going to tell you, God has already led people through where you're going. My friend, that ought to be a comfort. There's already been somebody. You know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, those aren't new. God has been helping people through this sin and wickedness for a very, very, very long time. In fact, he helped someone through who didn't take his help. Actually, the first two people that were on the face of the earth struggled with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Adam and Eve felt alone. But who was there? God. God was there. My friend, I want you to see, first of all, that there's nothing new. Others have gone through this hard time in the past. You know, for this father that is talking to his son, He's remembering things that had happened. And he's passing down stories of how God had done something. And that brings us to the next part. As we look at verse 11, we see this word remember. I will remember. The first point is there is something to remember. The second point is now we've got to remember. It's time to go back. And I remember when God's people were coming out of Egypt. And the stories would be told by the fathers. In fact, it was very tradition and customary, ordained of God, that the fathers would take time to share what God had done to his people and with his people. God had commanded them to sit down, in many instances, over some food, and go over and review and rehearse all that God had done. And why? So that they too could remember and know that God had been there. God has always had a plan. God has always had a purpose. God has always had a path for his people. Always. Do you know that God has always had that? You know, when we talk about Israel, God had set them up beautifully. You go to the promise of Abraham. You go to the promise of Isaac and Jacob. God had given them so much. God had set them up beautifully. Pictured in Mount Zion, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Jerusalem, God's people have always been set in a setting that is perfect. Do you know that God's people have always been put in position for prosperity? And although that was promised to his people of old, the nation of Israel, it is promised to you now because he came unto his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Can I tell you, you are set in a beautiful situation as well. God has given you so much. He set them up beautifully. He had showed up when they were struggling. Did God show up when the nation of Israel was struggling? He showed up even in the land I mean, even as Joseph delivered them from the land of Jacob, God showed up through Joseph in Egypt. And God had led them there. And they had been there for a long time. And then they needed to be delivered. And the Egyptians started to make them slaves. And God showed up. And God gave them their heart's desire. And he delivered them out into the wilderness so that they can worship. And they were short of food, and God showed up. And they were short of water, and God showed up. And they needed to cross this body of water, and God showed up. And they needed to be delivered from their complaining and sin, and God showed up. And they went, and they did wrong, and they made a golden calf, and God showed up. They needed a plan to live, and God showed up. They needed a leader, and God showed up. My friend, God always showed up in these people's difficult lives. He never gave up on them in spite of their lack of faith and obedience. He never did. Oh, they might need chastising, but he would not forget them. He would always come back. He would always be there with his mercy. Always. He delivered them every single time. That's what God has done. And folks, we are going to remember that this year. But folks, hasn't God delivered you every time? And can I say this? It's time to pull those things out of the closet and start remembering what God has done for you. And this year is going to be a time to remember. To remember the good things that God has done. We look at verse 13 and we see another amazing part of this. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old, a decision that was made by Asaph. And then he says in verse 12, I will meditate also of all thy work. That word meditate there is a word that implies thankfulness. It wasn't just taking the past and flippantly going through life, but it was a meditation and an appreciation. There was an appreciation for what God had done back in these people's lives. What God had done for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. What God had done for Joseph and the nation of Israel. There was an appreciation for that, and that's wrapped up with that word meditate. It's pondering, and it's being thankful. Folks, we don't just remember, but we're thankful. I'm so glad that God spared me from the direction I was going. I'm so glad God took me out of the world. Are you thankful for what God has done in your life? Have you ever taken the time to wonder where you would be if God hadn't showed up? I think about that all the time. What would I be doing? I praise God that he showed up for me. But it's time to meditate. It's time to think upon that. Folks, this year in 2024, we're going to spend some time being thankful. It's time to stop being dreary and discouraged about what God is doing in our world. It's time to step up from the struggles that we're going through and focusing on what we don't have. And it's time to stop and thank God for what he's doing. This year is a year to be thankful. It's a year to remember. It's a year to be thankful. But I'll tell you, that's not it. It doesn't stop with remembering. It doesn't stop with being thankful. We see in verse 12. I believe the key to all of this is not just the remembering and being thankful. If we don't do anything with it, it dies. And it does the future no good. I will meditate also of thy work and talk of thy doings. Folks, in 2024, it's time to be talking of what God has done. No more keeping silent and keeping it to ourselves. It's time to open up and share what God has done for you. It's time to give other people a glimpse in what God has done for you in your life. And it's called discipleship. It's time that we begin depositing what God has given to us into somebody else's life, so that they can remember, so that they can know. It was just this past week, I was talking to some of the kids about some things. I was talking to Ezekiel, and I was reminiscing of some things, how God had led me in the way that I went. And I remembered back to when I was a youngster and how I desired this, and I started reminiscing of what God had done. And some of those things you tend to forget. I knew them, but they weren't in my most immediate registry. And as I was going through that, it just recalled my mind. God really has worked in my life. He has led me faithfully all the way. And yet there were times when I felt like I was all alone and I had no direction, I had no clue. But God was faithfully leading. But then I was to declare that. I was sharing that. And there is a testimony there. Look what God has done. And the purpose of that is so that they sit up and say, wait a second, God has done amazing things. Folks, this year is a year not only to remember. It's a year to be thankful, but it's a year to declare. It's a year to begin telling people what God has done for us in our lives. And all of a sudden, God is not limited to just a single person and their events, but God is now opened up to thousands and thousands of testimonies of God's greatness. God is big because His testimony is everlasting. His testimony stretches to all people. Why would we limit it to ourselves? Folks, it's time to declare God's works. This year, thankfulness, remembering, declaring. I trust that it will be a year that we can remember the works of old and to declare His glory so that we can bring God glory and help other people. Let's not keep it to ourselves. Now, say that wasn't much of a message. We didn't get very deep. That's what this year is going to be. We're going to be thankful. We're going to remember. We're going to declare. And so I would like to take time now to share with you what God has for us the rest of this year. And I can't give you all of the details of that, but I would like to go through and just kind of begin to tell you what is going to take place. Well, this year is going to start off with something that we would like to give you, and we're going to start off by giving you all a calendar, just like you had this last year. It's got our theme on it, and you're going to be able to open up this calendar. Appreciate Pastor Dan working on all this. And of course, there is our theme verse, and so you're going to have that there that you could be looking at. And then there's the first page is going to have some key things that you're going to want to make sure that you have listed in front of you, and I'm going to go over some of those things here in just a moment, but there's just some key things that we are going to do. And then what we did is we put together this calendar with church events, and each of the months has pictures from our Israel trip, okay? And so like January here is the City of David. And, of course, understand the City of David. We're not talking about Bethlehem. We're talking about the City of David under Jerusalem. But anyway, that's just one thing there. And there's a verse underneath it that has to do with our theme, okay? Thankfulness, remembering, and declaring. A lot of these verses cover that. And so there's all kinds of pictures that you can look at through the year of our trip. And that should be a blessing to you. Again, remembering the works of the old. And so these are available for you out there. Pick them up on your way out at the Welcome Center. For right now, every family gets one.
And hopefully we're going to be making more, but every family, and then we'll see how much we have to distribute beyond every family, okay? So remember to get one of these, but in the calendar that we'll get are some things that we are going to use to remember, okay? And let me just mention a couple of these things that are in here that we're going to be doing. There is, in February, these are just a couple highlights. I'm not going to give you everything, but a couple highlights. Men, February 16th and 17th is a time, a faithful men's retreat. And it's only going to be one night. We'll probably meet, you know, after work on Friday afternoon, late afternoon. We'll see who wants to go, but we're going to go away for just about 24 hours. We are renting a place from, so many of you know Frank and Jenny Graybill. They have a property down south of Bedford, down below there. Mel Ruby, you guys know where that's at because it's not far away, just one valley over, I think, there. But they've got a big place there that's very well equipped for lots of people to stay, but we are going to be going to that just for that night. And we're going to be hearing preaching on being a faithful man. And some of you remember in my ordination, Pastor Ken Corns, who was part of that, he is going to be preaching that retreat during that time, probably about three times he'll be preaching. And so he's going to preach that. And so put that on your calendars, men, February 16th and 17th. It'll be something very simple, but being very helpful. Okay, and so that's in February. Of course, we're looking forward to March 31st, which is Easter, and we'll talk more about that in the coming days, but looking as an outreach opportunity during Easter. We have revival meetings April 21st through the 26th. Mark, put them on your calendar. And this must be the year for older men because Pastor Corns is getting up there in years. But we are going to have an evangelist come and preach these meetings. His name is Evangelist Chuck Crabtree. He's a Choctaw Indian that's about this tall. And I'm not joking. I don't know if he got to 5 foot in his life. But Chuck Crabtree is 89 years old. He said that's the oldest evangelist we've ever had here. He'll also be probably the most fieriest evangelist that you ever had. I will say this, he was one of the most, if not the most influential men, aside from my parents, in my life, helping me to be who I am today. Evangelist Chuck Crabtree. I called him up and I asked him, I said, would you, because he wants to be done with evangelism at age 90. He grew up in most of his years, he rode a Harley Davidson motorcycle. He's not a picture of what you might think of as a Harley Davidson motorcycle rider, but he did. He rode it all around the country, going and doing evangelism. And anyways, he is going to, but I asked him and he said, I would love nothing more than to do a trip like that one more time, especially for somebody like me, because he considers me one of his sons in the faith. And so Chuck Crabtree is going to be here for that year and for this time. Excited again, April 21 to 26. Guaranteed it's going to be a time of blessing and encouragement to you as we hear from the Word of God. We have once again June 26 to 28, our family days. We're excited about that and learning all that we can as a family. And Assistant Pastor Stephen Van Gelderen and his family, along with their 10, 11, 9 kids are going to be here with us, and they're going to be doing all kinds of musical things for us. They're going to be here for a following church service after that, doing a music concert, I trust. And so we're excited for that and what they're going to be able to give to us during those family meetings. Throughout the year, we are going to be doing something what we call a remember and declare gatherings. And this is going to be a neat thing that I want to happen. And we're going to set up some meetings that people have. You might host over your house. It might be at a campfire. It might be, you know, inside in front of another fire. It might be in front of an air conditioner, depending on what time of year you have it. But it's a time where we're going to get together and we're going to hear each other's testimonies of how you got where you're at. Many years ago, we had one of these things at our house, and we had it at a campfire, and I remember having the Rainiers there. I don't know if you remember it, Bob, no, but you guys were there. I can't remember both of you or one of you. I don't know. But you, but we got to hear the story about how God had done some things. And that just, I still remember that. And that meant something to me to hear. It's like, I never knew that. I want to do that. I think that everybody should remember where we came from and how we got to where we are. That's part of remembering and declaring. People need to hear what God has done for you in your life. So we're going to do those periodically throughout the year. Just simple gatherings that we get together. There's no pressure about big meals. We're just going to come together and hear what God has done in different people's lives to bring them as a couple where you are at. And so we'll be doing those throughout the year, remembering and declare gatherings. We're going to do something different with Discovery Bible Studies and Connections this year. In fact, we've taken out some of the activities that we've had, like with ladies, men, teens, and we're going to, not all of them, but we're going to replace some of them with the DBS group. And as men, you might go just have some burgers, you know, over someone's place and just fellowship and talk. It's probably going to be much less formal, but you're going to be doing some activities through that. And your DBS leader, if you're involved in that, and even if you're not involved with DBS, but in that age category, they'll be contacting with you and just times throughout the year, once a quarter, to get together and just be together as men and women, do some activities, whatever they have for you. But those things are going to be coming on this next year in the area of discipleship as well. And then, of course, we have the Christmas Hope Festival besides that. So those are some key things that I want you to be aware of. I have some other things to share. We're going to be having different preachers in the evening, and these preachers are all from within. I'm excited about this. It's going to help us just to get a more perspective on things. It's going to help train also some other people in it, okay? So I know that Ezekiel's going to be preaching a couple times this year. I think that David is going to preach a couple times. Andrew's going to preach even more times than that. I know that Pastor Dan, of course, is going to be preaching. And I would open up to some others as well. But on Sunday evenings, periodically, we're going to get that. But then on top of that, I'm excited about this. Rick Brubaker is going to be preaching through the Jewish festivals. Once a month, another Jewish festival, and we're going to kind of get an oversight, an overview of what the festival is. The festivals were given to acknowledge and remember what God had done for the people, and then those people were to declare to their generation what God had done. And so we're going to look at what the festivals, what was the Festival of Tabernacles and the Feast of Tabernacles? What was that? And what is it that we are to remember? And what do we declare? And so once a month, he's going to be doing a survey type study on a Sunday night. And we're going to come get that because it fits right into our theme with what we're trying to do. And then I'll be done about here, and I have a couple more people that want to share a few things, and we'll sing our theme song and be done this morning. But another thing that I'm excited about this year is I'm still in the making of working on this, but possibly late summer or possibly in the fall, we are going to be having a mini kind of a prophecy conference concerning end times. And I'm still working on the details with that, but you can be looking forward to that as it materializes. But I'm excited about that this year as well, and how it fits into things, and the not only in the past but what's coming. And so we'll be able to look at that. We mentioned something else that I want to give to you. We are all going to. You're all going to be receiving, and hopefully individually receiving a simple notebook that you're going to get that is very, there's not much in it except pages. It has date and a page number on it. You can do with it how you can format it the way you want to, but you're all going to be getting one of these.
And there's a reason why. I'm going to probably preach on this again, but I'll just tell you in simple. What I want you to do with this is I want you to take this and I want you to begin recording daily, every couple days or even weekly. I want you to begin recording all the things that God is doing for you. When you record them, you're going to be surprised at how much God does for you. And this will be a tool so that you can help declare it to the next generation, okay? So you're not going to get these today because we're wanting to put a little, some sort of a little logo or something on the front of it. Just remember, whether it's the verse or something on it, we just haven't got to it yet. But you're all going to be receiving one of these, so that will come. But you can be looking forward to that, and you can start recording the good things or the things that God is doing in your life so that you can help you to remember and then declare it to the next generation.
All right, those are some things that I want to mention. Now for a few kind of groups of people that I want to share with you of what we're going to be focusing on here. I'm going to represent youth. We're going to go through youth now. After that, I'm going to ask Ken to come, and he's going to share on the side of the seniors and just give a little plug in for you seniors. And after that, just so you're ready, after that, then I'm going to have, let's see, who did I have next? Then I'm going to have Zach come. Zach Seavers is going to be directing our missions effort this next year. He's agreed to that, and so he's going to come in just a few moments and tell us how we're going to incorporate this with our missions program coming up. So Zach will come after that. Pastor Dan is going to come share a few thoughts on outreach, and then I will close with a couple things, and we'll sing our theme song after that. So really quickly with youth, obviously we don't have youth directors right now, but we need to be praying that God would do something to bring in those youth leaders this year in 2024. But this is what I am challenging the youth, but this is also a challenge to the seniors. We are challenging the youth to desire to be learning from you who have gone before them, the things that God has taught you. And so we are going to be challenging them to try to grasp from you what God has taught you. And so that's the prayer for this, is as a youth, that we, as we see this young boy, that we would be young boys, young girls, whatever, coming and saying, what can you teach me? What can we learn? And I really want us to go forward with that. But that's going to, as far as youth, we want to learn. Can I say this as, me representing the youth? We want to hear what God's done for you. We want you to tell us so that we can know the God that you serve. So with that, Ken, why don't you just come up just for a moment and just give us a little thought, concerning us seniors along those lines.
As I look out over this group here, I see a lot of people long in a tooth. People that have been married from 40 to 60 years, and even more, I think, in certain cases. So we have seen God work. We're going to have to work on our memory a little bit, maybe, though. So we may have to get out those albums and start looking at those albums to remember, in certain cases, what God has really done for us. And we're going to try corporately as seniors as we get together, and also I'm challenge you individually, as pastor's already done, to grab a young person and just tell them some things that how God has worked in your life. Mm-hmm. Sam, would you be ready to hear some of those things? Mm-hmm. He's smiling. I think he would. But even some of our older teenagers, and we have a lot of young singles here. Some of them are not going to be single too much longer, but we have a lot of young singles here. And maybe, hopefully, they won't be single for a lot longer. But they can really grasp what has happened in those 40-plus years of marriage, as I think of that. And whether you're a widow or widower or a still married couple, just start thinking about what you can do there. We're going to try and incorporate some of this into maybe one or two of our gatherings that we get together, where we drag them along and tell them all these dreadful stories. But hopefully they'll realize that without the works of God, we wouldn't be here today to tell them.
Yeah, that's good. And that reminds me of
Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. The elders, and they will tell thee. That's what we want to do here. Young people, we need to ask, and I hate to say old people, okay? Young people, you need to ask, but those of us who have gone through it, we need to be willing to declare and share with them. All right. Zach, I'm excited that Zach's going to be heading up our missions portion of our program this year, and so Zach has a couple things that he wants to share.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, whatever it is now. Let me start by saying Acts 13:47 says, "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, and thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." Amen. Here in Acts, the church is formed around making disciples and multiplying to the ends of the earth, reaching out to those who don't know him, and serving the least of these is God's heartbeat. One of the ways that our church reaffirms and renews our commitment to praying for harvest laborers is through our annual missions conference. This year, however, we desire to increase our direct relationships with our missionaries that we support and develop a more personal and current connection with them. I've been asked to keep in touch with our missionaries regularly to understand their unique challenges and needs that are in their fields and learn how to better pray for them. I'll also be sharing about what we are doing here at Faith Bible Church and hopefully be an encouragement to them as well. Amen. I plan to update you on missionary prayer requests and needs and possibly even make several video calls during our services this year. I'm excited about how God has been working through our missionaries, and I'm looking forward to being a blessing to them as a congregation as we participate in the work of those on the field.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Certainly, I'm thrilled that
our goal is to step up our missions, you know, from what we've had in the past, and having a person directly do that is just a huge, huge, huge blessing. And so, praise the Lord for that. All right, Pastor Dan, why don't you come share just a couple things about outreach this year?
Yeah, I'm excited about what the Lord is going to do this year as far as reaching into our community more. I got big goals for years on out, so it's just a lot bouncing around this brain up here. But I'm excited to see how the Lord continues to lead us for this year. Pastor and I are thinking and praying about how we can make Send the Light Days more effective, how it's something more of us can be involved in, and so we're moving forward with that. You pray for us as we continue to seek the Lord in making those corporate days for our church a special time. But another burden we have for us as a church is that we really use our DBS groups to reach out to the people that God has put in our lives. The whole concept of top fives and working with those people that God is already having us rub shoulders with and challenging one another in that through our groups. And so I want to encourage you, do challenge one another. And throughout the week, you be encouraging one another so as you get to talk to so-and-so. And really building those real-life relationships is key to the evangelism in our church. I'm excited about some new tracks that we have on the track rack out there. We've been able to spend some time getting some new materials for you to be using. And that one's... you can use it all year, but it's kind of a little more like Valentine's idea. Great time coming up here for that. Are You Ready? The Bridge to Life. And there's more kinds than these. So you'll see there's more color back there and things for you to pick up and use day to day as you're out in the community. I like a lot of these new ones and just how they present the gospel. Excellent tools. We have some older ones back there as well that will keep those stocked. And as you probably noticed back during Christmas time, there's a whole bunch of Christmas ones back there that you can take and be using for friends, neighbors, and people who need to hear the gospel. So lots of good materials back there. And we do take the time to print the church information on the back. And so that's a great tool. I just want to encourage you. I think there was something else I want to mention, but I don't have a list in front of me. I just want to encourage you to do go by the Welcome Center, pick up a calendar, use that as a tool. And also, I don't think Pastor was planning to mention this, but there's some bookmarks back there for you as well. Okay, so go by the Welcome Center and you can find some bookmarks with the theme on, and put that in the book you're reading, and continue to remind yourself of how the Lord is leading us for 2024.
Thank you very much for that. And there's a lot of other things besides that that you'll be hearing about later. One last thing that I want you to mention that I'm excited about is we want to have a Remember Sunday. We typically don't do much for the church's anniversary, and this is no key year for an anniversary. It doesn't fall on a 5 or a 0. But we want to do something because of our theme, the Sunday before when it typically would be. We want to have what we call Remember Sunday. And I don't know how it's going to work. This was a late idea that we had, but I know that some of you can remember the meeting at Reams Fire Hall that we had when the church was started with that. And I have thought I would really love to reconstruct something like that. I don't know if we will even be able to use that, but something like that where we would have a Sunday morning that we could meet together and we can reconstruct something like that where we would remember where God has brought us and focus on some of those things as a church. And so we'll see how the details come, see if we can even rent that out for a morning or something. I think that would be neat, have a fellowship meal. But remembering what God has done for us from the beginning days of Faith Bible Church. But looking forward to all of these things to help us be thankful, remember, and declare. All right, as we close, I'm going to go ahead and have musicians come up. We're going to go ahead and sing that theme song one more time, and we'll pray and be dismissed.
All right, again, you'll find that in the front of your hymn book. I hope you put it back there anyhow. Psalm 77, 11, and 12. Let's stand to sing.
I will remember the works of the Lord.